So I said, as Jane said, we're just going to do a short tag team thing this morning. So I'm just going to speak for just a little bit. Then Jane's going to speak for a little bit. Then the kids will come back in. So we've called today our Commissioning Sunday. We sort of do that every year. But what's that all about? I want to read from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Can I just ask, is this ringing a little bit? Just it is for me. No, okay. Matthew 28, 16 to 20. It says this, familiar words. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Here's the line. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Astounding as it may seem, God has allowed redeemed humanity to partner with him in bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth and to reach the world with the good news of Jesus. And but establishing God's dominion on earth wasn't a new idea. From the outset of creation, mankind was charged with bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, which was in that line, "Go forth, multiply, subdue." That was right at the beginning of Genesis. So this mission is therefore not just God's mission, but it's ours as well. It's a co-mission, that's what the word means, with us as God's co-labourers, which is astounding in itself. A little later on in the meeting, we're going to create the opportunity for those of you who know that God has called you to be part of this church, and recognise there are those who've just, it's early stages, so there's no pressure at on this day, to make promises really, and to be commissioned for the first time or afresh, really, to be an active part of Revival Church Billericay. And we'll explain a little bit more of that later. But if the church, with a capital C, is to partner with God, then it's essential, and this is really self-evident, that we do things God's way. He is, after all, the senior partner in this relationship, in this co-mission. You may remember, if you've been with us a little while, a few years ago, I think it was at the Rising Sun, I did a teaching from 2 Peter on what it speaks about being living stones, about the Christians being living stones in the body of Christ. I remind you of the passage. It's from 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says this, "As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves," that's us as believers, "like living stones are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So there are some key things that this passage reveals to us. Firstly, God is building a house which is made up of redeemed humanity. And whilst in the natural buildings typically don't have life, in the spiritual realm of God, everything is living, and that includes stones. This is not just a metaphor. That's really because God's life courses through them or through us. That's really why they're living. Surprising as it may seem, God has chosen you and me to be part of this spiritual house. Which really leads me on to my second key point, which is this. We cannot effectively be part of God's house if we are not aligned to the cornerstone, who is Jesus Christ. Aligning ourselves to our service, what we do, our ministry, our denomination, or even other Christians, I'd say, without first establishing or positioning ourselves upon Jesus will inevitably lead to fruitlessness. And we all want to be fruitful, don't we? This isn't my idea. It was Jesus. Here's what he said on the matter in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus says. So we just need to make sure everything flows from being established on the cornerstone on Jesus. And thirdly, third key point is this. It isn't just Jesus and me, singular, that make up the building. One brick doesn't make a house, and one living stone doesn't make up the house of God. Anyone who thinks that they can be a Christian independent of Jesus' church is probably misguided, sometimes in disobedience, but it's not a truth we should buy into. In Hebrews 10:25, it says not to neglect meeting with other believers. And it's a mistake to think we can be our own oracle or be independent of other believers. Of course, self-feeding, personal Bible study, personal spiritual growth, that's absolutely essential. Hopefully you get a lot when you come to our meetings, when you go to life groups, but actually we've got to do our own groundwork as well, because that comes out of relationship. We talked a bit about that this morning. But we've got to bring that into the mix of relationship with church leaders, an apostolic teaching environment, but also welcome the council and ministry of other believers as well, the church family. That's really essential. I think I've said before the line that church is our best chance of living out this Christian life that God has given us. It's our only chance, actually. So we have to love what God loves. We have to love the church. Church is God's idea. Yes, of course, some of the traditions and practices of some churches, yeah, they're man-made and they maybe don't conform to scripture. But the idea of church, the concept of church, is God's idea. And just to underscore this, Jesus also expressly stated his love for the church, the house that he's building. He says this in Ephesians 5:25. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Jesus gave himself up for the church. That's how much he loves the church. So really to sort of bring this bit to a close, really to distance ourselves from other believers or to maintain a poor connection with them has both a negative effect on us, but also actually has a negative effect on other believers as well. It removes us from the spiritual life that can flow from other believers or from the church set up to us. But also what we carry stays in us and isn't able to pass to other believers as well. It's a two-way street. It's for me. But there is more to this spiritual house that God is building. And just really want to, draw this bit to a close, really, from reading from Genesis 28:10-22. And it's really a familiar story about Jacob in his early days. And I'll explain why I'm reading it. And here's what it says, just a few verses. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. And here he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give you to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad broad to the west and the east, the north and the north and the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. and this is the gate of heaven. So early in the morning, Jacob took the stone that he put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, and by the name of the city was Luz at first. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I will go and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I will come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I've set up a pillar for shall be God's house, and all that I give you, I will give a tenth. All that you give me, I will give a tenth to you." Sorry, I sped through it a little bit. But just to get to this point, the house of God is not only a place where we get to experience the dynamic of heaven, as Jacob did, but it creates a gateway where the life of heaven is released into the world. And really, this is a powerful picture of the operation of Jesus' church, including us at Revival Church. Some points. Jacob rested his head on a rock. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the rock, capital R, and he is our Sabbath rest. So the place where we can abide and where our lives fulfillment, that's Jesus. The free flow of angels from heaven to earth and earth to heaven is a wonderful picture of a continuum of heaven's life pouring into us like a waterfall sort of flowing into a pool, I suppose. As living stones in God's house, abiding, remaining, resting on the rock who's Jesus, the free flow of heaven's life can be our constant and should be our constant experience. With this dynamic established in Jacob's experience, he declared that place to be a gate of heaven. With those dynamics available to us as a church, what does it look like for the house of God, this house, to be a gate of heaven in this town, in this region, in this nation? The answer is, I don't know. But what I do know is that without fully buying into church in the way God intended, we'll actually never know. We'll never experience that. And I don't know about you, I don't want to stand on the sidelines and just applaud what other Christians are doing. I want to be counted in that number. And Jesus' church is where we get that opportunity. Jane, you can pick up from this.
For us to be that gateway to heaven, what does it look like for this to be a place where lives are transformed, people encounter God, lives are transformed, and then that has an impact outside? What does it look like for us to be a church, or indeed to be individuals, where the life of heaven so flows through us into our town and our region that we change the atmosphere, that we set the tone of things, that we don't come under stuff? As Andy's already said, the number one priority in our lives has got to be our relationship with God. It's got to start there. It's got to be with us surrendering all to Jesus. That's the life that then flows from us. As Andy and I have been spending time over Christmas praying into this year and asking God what priorities he wants us to have as a church, the key thing he's been saying to us is building relationships. That's why it's just been amazing, that stuff that's been woven through the worship this morning and the prophetic words. Church is described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 as a body. And at first that might seem a really strange picture that he used to describe the church as a body, but you know, the Holy Spirit is never wrong. I've learned that one. The Holy Spirit is never wrong. Within a human body, you've got different organs, you've got different cells, you've got different chemical transmitters flowing throughout the body. So many different functions within one body, and yet they function together. Let me just read that passage from Corinthians. "Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if an ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And then further on in that passage, it says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That is an awesome, awesome declaration to make over the Church of Jesus Christ. Because what that means is every Christian needs to be connected to other Christians to be part of the body. Because otherwise it doesn't work. It's a dangerous thing, as Andy's already mentioned, when Christians think they don't need church. Now, it could be because they've been hurt by church, they've been damaged, and they don't want to go there again. Don't want to go there again. But actually, the devil was just trying to stop them being part of the place where they are going to thrive. That passage is really clear to me. We all need each other. We all need each other. That's at the macro level. So what about the micro level? What about us here at Revival Church Billericay? What about each person who's called to be part of Revival Church Billericay? And Andy and I, when we first heard from God that he wanted us to plant a church, he said to us, I don't want you to invite a single person to come along. And we thought, great, it'll just be the two of us. We'll get to share the collection between us now. Because God said, I'm calling people. I am calling people, and we have been really careful all the way through. When people have talked to us and stuff, we've always said you need to hear from God in this, because when God calls, it's a very different dynamic, a very, very different dynamic. So each person that God has called to be part of Revival Church Billericay is vital and important. But it's totally and completely releasing that you do not have to be like anybody else. Nobody here needs to be like anybody else, because everybody is individual and unique and brings something really special to the body. In order for each of us to fulfill the call of God on our life, I believe we need to embrace the church, or the body of believers that God wants us to be part of. You bring out the best in me, and I want to bring out the best in you. I flourish better when I'm connected to this amazing group of people. And I want that to be your story too. That you flourish because you're connected to this body. Hebrews 10, verse 19 says this, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Meeting together, encouraging and loving each other, building each other up is vital for the life of the church, but also for us as individuals. We won't be effective out there if we don't get it right in here. We won't get it right in here unless we're building our lives together. As we commit ourselves afresh in a little while to the plans and purposes of God for this church this morning, we're also committing ourselves to each other. That's what a body does, isn't it? It commits itself to each other. Bruce, can you go and bring the kids back in? Thank you. Let's be intentional in 2017 about building relationships with our brothers and sisters. Join a life group. Start a life group. Go to the men's breakfast. Go to Revival Women. Come along to the Boar on a Sunday morning, at the first Sunday of the month. Start a prayer triplet. Meet up with other families. Start doing life together. We need to, if we're serious about this, we need to be intentional about it, because it doesn't just happen. The early church didn't have a program-led church. I can't see it. They didn't have a program-led church. They were committed to God and they were committed to each other. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, I'm not suggesting we set up some kind of kibbutz somewhere. You know, that is not what I'm saying. But it was that sense of knowing each other's needs, actually knowing what the needs are, and having that openness of life, being prepared to share with each other. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It was a different way of doing life. It was a different way of doing life that drew people in. They shared their faith together. They shared their lives together. They shared their joys. They shared their sorrows. They didn't isolate themselves from each other. They were open and transparent, and relationship flowed. They prioritize relationships. And I know we all have busy lives. I totally understand that. And please don't misunderstand me. This isn't meant to be a list of things, another list of things that we have to do. That's not what this is. It's prioritizing what's important. I had a dream last night, and I'd forgotten all about it this morning when I woke up. And then I started going through this, and God reminded me about the dream really, really clearly. And it was a really unusual dream that I had. So I know that it was from him, because it was about brickwork. I don't normally dream about brickwork. And it was about some brickwork that needed to be repointed. Now, I even had to Google what repointing is, because I didn't really understand what it was. So, you know, it was, this was God. This wasn't me. And when you repoint a wall, it's because the mortar, which is the stuff in between the bricks, the cement, has eroded away. So repointing a wall is simply, from what I understand, is you just have to re-cement between the bricks. Because although the bricks are important for the strength of the wall, the cement gives it added strength. And if the cement isn't good, then the wall is going to be unstable. The building is going to be unstable. And what God said to me was, the relationship stuff is like the cement between the bricks. And actually, for some of us, we might need to do a little bit of repointing in our lives, because our lives have become so insular that actually we've forgotten what it's like to do relationships because of hurt, because of damage. But actually, God wants us to know that it's something that he wants us to be a part of. Satan will always try to bring division. He will always try to separate, because he knows the strength in unity. The psalmist tells us that where there's unity, God doesn't just give his blessing, he commands his blessing. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down the head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. Yes, that's where God commands the blessing and ordains eternal life. That is a precious place to be. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life in such a way that it's where God commands his blessing. I want this church to be something that is so pleasing to God that he commands his blessing on every person involved in the life of the church. So our relationship with God has got to be paramount. And our relationships with each other actually is something that is going to be integral in the life of the church. Stuff will flow out of that. Things that we do, outreaches that we have, will flow out of that. But if we don't get relationship right at the core of what we do, then it will be futile, because it's not what God wants us to do. Andy.
We can stay seated, that's okay. So if you feel that God has called you to this church and you would like to just afresh or the first time commit yourself to Revival Church, to its vision, all that God has it for you here, and just really on the back of what we said this morning, we're just going to read this through now, and then just going to say some words. We're going to commission you ourselves afresh. Okay. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are the reason for us being here today. And it is you who has called us to be part of this church. We surrender our lives afresh to you as our Saviour and our Lord. We commit ourselves to the building up of your church and to each other. We will seek first your kingdom in this church, in Mirriki, and the areas you call us to serve. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, so that we will be fully equipped to live in the flow of your love and power. Enable us to carry your presence everywhere we go. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Could I ask Alan and Jen to come up here as well?
Jane's just coming. Jane is currently on her way back from taking Michael to the airport, so she's not able to join us at the front, but she knows what we're going to say. So this is our commitment to you as the leaders of Revival Church Billericay. So our commitment to you as the leaders of Revival Church Billericay is to continue to create an environment in which you can thrive as a son or a daughter of God, where your identity in Christ is fully realized, where your gifts and callings from God are encouraged, strengthened, and released. According to Ephesians 4:12-13, we commit ourselves to equipping you for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Yeah, just finally, we, on the basis really your promises, we just like to commission you afresh into all that God has for you. And as we do that, just receive by faith a sort of fresh unction, a fresh anointing, an empowering from God as we speak these words. Fresh vision, fresh faith for all that God's called you to. So as leaders of Revival Church Billericay, we commission, establish and release you into all that God has for you within this church and its outworking in your spheres of influence. We declare fruitfulness, blessing, increase and breakthrough into every kingdom work that you set your hand to. We declare over your life God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and God's provision in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to take communion together now, and we're going to do that as family. So you may be here with your families, but you may not be here with family, and that's okay. So what we want to do is there are various bits of communion on the two back tables to gather together. If you want to gather together, not just your family, but with another family or with others, and just to bless each other. We've got to start doing this, so we're going to start doing it today. So just pray for each other, or just simply give each other communion. It can be as complicated and as simple as you want it to be. So If you want to gather in groups, you can just gather in groups where you are. That's absolutely fine. If there's another family you specifically want to connect with, then again, that's fine. But just make sure that nobody is excluded. That's the one thing. Everybody's included. Everybody's part of a group. So if you want to gather, take some bread and some of the juice. You might need to just share the cups around and share communion together. Go for it.